It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the Fantasy Football Champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Green, throwing back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the Fantasy Football Champs.
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings.com. We are 21 days away from the start of the 2014 season in fantasy football draft prep. It's heating up. You've got questions. We have answers. We also have proven strategies and advice to help you win. Here with me to help your fantasy league is Anthony Grace, a.k.a. the PPR Monster. What's going on, Ant?
Not too much, Bill. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm pumped up, baby. You know, 21 days away to the start of the season. Do you follow? Are you on Instagram?
I am not currently, no.
Oh, come on, dude.
Man, I'm not all in that social media. Twitter, I mess around with, but Facebook and
you're not
the
into
old
your
Instagram.
Face, my face, or Facebook?
Yeah, I don't look good in pictures, so I really don't need to be looking at myself that much.
The point I'm trying to make is the NFL does a great job of getting everyone that follows them on Instagram pumped up for the season, because they always have a player. And then days away to the start of the year. So, like, yesterday it was Matt Forte. He's number 22. So it had a picture of Matt Forte, 22, and then they write days away to the start of the NFL season. I love it. I'm pumped up. I know our producer is pumped up. After all, the youth of America looks up to him. Our
Apparently.
Great producer, Kevin Collins. What's up, Kev?
Not much. And, Mike tweeted at me just to clarify his stance on that phrase, and apparently it's genuine. He does like me. There's always one nut in every crowd, right?
The youth of America looks up to you. I'm gonna make that catch on. I mean, Mike started it, but
gonna have some T-shirts made up, Bill.
We might have to do that. Got a great show planned today, going in depth on running back strength of schedule. Anthony, you wrote a great article for FFChamps.com highlighting, or basically doing an analysis and a breakdown of every running back's schedule for the 2014 season. You did a really nice color coded chart. We're going to go into that in just a little bit. We'll talk about the coaching changes. Since we still haven't gotten to it the last couple of shows, this is our third show on Patriots.com, so we'll try to get to that today. And also tonight, hey, it kicks off the second week of the preseason with the Jaguars and whoever the heck they're playing. Who are they?
Chicago Bears tonight.
The Chicago Bears and the Jacksonville Jaguars in action Thursday Night Football. That kicks off the second week of the preseason. We'll tell you what to watch for from a fantasy angle. And, of course, we're taking your calls, 855-728-7500, 855-PATS-500 is the phone number, webradio@patriots.com. If you're a little phone shy, you want to type in your email, go ahead and do that, webradio@patriots.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter. I am at Bill Enright, Anthony Grace is at the PPR Monster, and Kevin Collins is at PATSRadio_Kev. Did I get that correct?
That is correct.
At PATSRadio_Kev, yes. I got all that correct. I'm very proud of myself. Usually it takes me one or two times to get Kevin's Twitter name right.
It is too long, probably.
PATS_Radio_Kev.
Yeah, it's a little lengthy.
Why not just PATS.com Kev?
I don't know. I could maybe I'll tweak with it this year on a rainy day.
That's it.
Maybe that's a bi week project.
See what works. Yeah. Anthony, how did you come up with the PPR Monster? I love it.
It's just PPR is my favorite format since I started playing, and I just went with it. It seems that PPR is, I think it's the most fair way to play fantasy football. It brings receivers, tight ends, running backs, brings it all together. Everybody's more even, so it just makes it more fun if everybody's got a decent team, you know?
You know, I love the PPR format as well. I think it's exciting. I think it brings in a new dynamic to the game, because it's a little different when Adrian Peterson has 25 carries. But if he has 15 catches, you know, that's something that he's not supposed to do. Or, you know, not exactly what he's supposed to do, but it's just a little bit of an added bonus. And with receivers, you should get credit when a guy like Brandon Marshall catches 100 passes in a year.
Yeah, 100%.
So I'm with you there. I love the PPR format.
So much fun. If you haven't played it out there, you gotta take a chance and mess around with it this year for sure.
Maybe that should be the question of the day. What fantasy format scoring? What fantasy scoring format do you prefer? Are you a PPR guy? Are you a standard league guy? Do you like dynasty leagues? Maybe that could be the question of the day. We'll be asking all of our callers to chime in on that debate. 855-728 7,500. I have to mention our great partners at DraftKings.com. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do the show this year. So daily fantasy football really, really taking off in a big way. It gives all of our listeners an opportunity not only to, you know, separate separate the strategies from their typical redraft league, but it's a great way to win money. We know what we're doing here on the Fantasy Football Champs. If you've listened to our show for the last, what is it, Kev, the last 2 years? This is our third year, right?
Yes, correct.
So if you listen to the show the last 2 years, you know that we help you win. And we're going to help you win at Daily Fantasy Football this year as well. There's real cash on the line for week one. They got a $5 million prize pool just for week one. And there's a $100,000 contest for all of our listeners. So if you go to ffchamps.com/pats, not only will you get a free membership to Fantasy Football Champs, ffchamps.com, but you'll also be able to compete against all of us here on the radio and some of our favorite listeners as well. So again, that's ffchamps.com/pats. I mentioned a little bit earlier we're going to do the running back strength of schedule. Anthony, you did a tremendous job with the article on FF Champs, and I really want to focus on this a little bit to start off the show today, because after all, running back's probably the most coveted position in all of fantasy. Would you agree?
It is. No matter how great wide receivers and tight ends like Jimmy Graham are out there, a stud running back is always a perfect cornerstone for any fantasy team, no matter what your scoring format is.
So we always try to find ways where, when we're on the fence about two players, when we're comparing two players, we want to find out what gives one player the edge over another. Does he catch passes out of the backfield? That matters if you're in a PPR league. Does he play in a really weak conference? Someone like, I don't know, Alfred Morris for the Washington Redskins. The NFC East defenses, they're terrible.
Yeah,
that matters. Strength of schedule also is another factor. It's just another piece of strategy, a piece of content that you can use from the site that helps give you an edge over your opponents. It helps give you knowledge on what players to draft. So you ranked all 32 teams and all the running backs from all 32 teams based on the strength of schedule. Now, why don't you give everyone a little bit of a breakdown on how teams got either a green, a red, or a neutral matchup?
All right, so what I did to break this down, your green is obviously a go, you know, just like your stoplight, green you want to play. That's a team that finished in the bottom against the running backs in fantasy points given up last year. Red, stop, very tough matchup. They finished in the top 10 against your running backs in fantasy points last year. And your white is your neutral. They finished right in the middle, 12, against running backs in fantasy points given up in 2013.
Okay, so this is heavily based on last year's team performances in terms of their opponents. Now, obviously, things change a little bit in the offseason. Players leave, players retire, players get signed, teams improve, teams are on a decline. Rookies certainly make an impact as well. But for the most part, do you think it stays somewhat the same?
I think for the most part, most of these teams are going to stay the same. Your Seattle's, your San Francisco's, your Carolina's, they're still going to be a good defense, even if they lost a few pieces here and there, and most of them seem to be pretty intact for the most part. And then you got teams, like you said, the NFC East, your Dallas Cowboys, your Redskins. Teams like that, they just don't have a defense for the most part that's going to show up and put a lot of pressure on an offense. So for the most part, things stay the same.
Okay, so let's get into this list now. I'm looking at your number one player with the easiest strength of schedule in terms of running the football. That means he's playing against teams that couldn't stop the run last year. You got Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams of the New York Giants, huh?
Yeah, man, the New York Giants have a very, very favorable schedule going into this year. They got themselves eight matchups in green, which is something you want to look for. And I like to break it down as far as your fantasy playoffs, because obviously you're playing to win a championship, and that's where it's going to take off for you. You got to get to the playoffs, but if you can manage your team to that point, the playoffs are the most important part of the season. So your New York Giants, I mean, they end the season with five straight easy matchups, including weeks 14, 15, 16, when most of us are in the playoffs. And you can't ask for an easier down-the-stretch schedule to get you in the playoffs and bring a championship than Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams this year.
Now, there's a caveat to that because, again, you don't want to draft players simply for the fact that, oh, they have a really easy schedule in weeks 14, 15, and 16. That's almost like an afterthought because you mentioned it. You have to get there first.
Right. But and like you said, this is just basically almost a tiebreaker, if you will, when you're drafting someone. So like a perfect example is LeSean McCoy of the Philadelphia Eagles. He has the third easiest strength of schedule this year. And him and Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson are the three guys you're, you know, debating between your number one. Well, LeSean McCoy has the third easiest schedule. And the other two gentlemen, Charles is 16th and AP is 17th. So he's got a big advantage as far as what kind of matchups he'll be facing this year.
Certainly. LeSean McCoy. That's a great point. And let's stick with a guy like McCoy, who is our number one running back this year at ffchamps.com. And you mentioned he has the third easiest schedule in terms of going up against defenses that can't that struggled stopping the run in 2013. So you have a guy like McCoy. We mentioned Rashad Jennings, the newcomer for the New York Giants, as number one. Trent Richardson is number two with the Colts. Chris Johnson is number four. And then Arian Foster is number five with the Houston Texans. So there's your top five easiest schedules for the running backs. Other than McCoy, you know, maybe do you look at a guy like Chris Johnson and say, you know what, his fourth or fifth round ADP is certainly intriguing. I'm interested to see what he can do with the Jets. And then all of a sudden you see that he has a great matchups this year, and you know, that pushes you a little bit more toward him in your draft decision.
I think so. It definitely has to push you that way, because he's getting drafted in an area where you're going to see guys like Reggie Bush and C.J. Spiller go. And C.J. Spiller, number nine on this list, so he also has a decent strength of schedule for himself. But Reggie Bush, he's about halfway down the list, and he's someone that's splitting carries with Joik Bell, so that's a little scary. But someone like Chris Johnson, you're going to get value because of his schedule and right. Where you're drafting him at.
Now, number five on this list, I said Arian Foster. I'm not a big Foster fan this year. I think he's already banged up in training camp, dealing with that hamstring injury. We'll see if he plays this weekend, but, you know, he had that back surgery, the same back surgery that Rob Gronkowski had, by the way, that kept him out for, you know, pretty much half a season. Foster's a guy that is on my decline list. I'll tell you right now, I did the quarterback bust list today. I'm going to do the running back bust list tomorrow. Foster's going to be on it.
Yeah, he should be. Even with an easy strength of schedule, again, like we said, it's just a tool to help you make a decision. I mean, just because Monty Ball and Le'Veon Bell are near the very bottom of this list, that's not going to deter you from taking them and playing them every week. But someone like Arian Foster, like you said, he's very injury prone now. He's had surgery, you know, back, legs, everywhere on his body virtually. He's a guy that's going to break down quicker, and he's going to need, he's going to be counted on to do a lot with Ryan Fitzpatrick coming in there and not being a very great quarterback.
All right, do you think a guy like, let's say, Marshawn Lynch, number seven. All right, let me just finish out the top ten here. Toby Gerhardt's number six with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Marshawn Lynch and the Seattle Seahawks running backs are number seven. Andre Ellington, who we love for the Arizona Cardinals, is at eight. You mentioned C.J. Spiller, joined by Fred Jackson of the Buffalo Bills. They're at nine. And then number ten is Bishop Sankey of the Tennessee Titans. Now, I want to talk about Sankey here for a second. He's a rookie. Was the first rookie drafted back in May in the real NFL draft. He was the first rookie running back taken in this year's draft. When you look at a guy like Sankey, 10th easiest rushing schedule, and you compare him to a guy maybe a little bit more down the list, but comparable in schedules, like a Lamar Miller of the Miami Dolphins, those are one of those tiebreakers that we go to. Similar player, similar draft position, similar ADP. Sankey has the better strength of schedule. I would go with Sankey over Lamar Miller.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Lamar Miller, look, he was a guy that disappointed a lot of us last year, me being one of them. You drafted him. You know, yep. A lot of people, breakout year coming for him, and it just he never did anything at all virtually. So I'd rather take a chance on a Bishop Sankey, a rookie, but if he does become the main guy there, I mean, Sean Green, how many carries is really going to steal from Bishop Sankey? He's not, you know, anybody. So Bishop Sankey versus Lamar Miller or someone in that realm, Bishop Sankey's the guy you want to go with.
All right, so of the top 10 running backs on this list, I'd say Rashad Jennings, McCoy, Chris Johnson, Foster, even though I don't like it, Marshawn Lynch, Andre Ellington, C.J. Spiller are all going in the first three, maybe mid-fourth round. Chris Johnson probably is that mid-fourth guy, so with Rashad Jennings.
Right.
All right, so that's interesting because now we look at 11 through 15. We got DeMarco Murray and the rest of the Cowboys. Doug Martin and the Bucks. We mentioned Lamar Miller at with the Miami Dolphins. They're at 13. Reggie Bush and Joik Bell. I love both of those guys with the Lions. And then you got Alfred Morris, Roy Helu with the Washington Redskins. I think these guys, all 10 through 15, are pretty much in that same third, fourth round territory. Maybe Reggie Bush, DeMarco Murray's a second round pick. Doug Martin's a late second, early third. Reggie Bush, mid third. Alfred Morris, mid third. So even after the 10th, the top 10 easiest schedules, we still have productive running backs 10 through 15.
Yeah, you're going to find productive running backs throughout this list. Again, I mean, we're basing it off last year's schedule. Things might change, but in this middle 11 through 15, like you said, DeMarco Murray is going to be a high draft pick based on what he did last year. Doug Martin, we saw what he did his rookie year, got hurt last year, but he should be someone that comes back and plays extremely well this year. Again, Reggie Bush and Joyke Bell, I mean, we know the Lions, they just like to put up points, and they're going to continue to do that. And Alfred Morris, I'm a huge Alfred Morris fan this year. He did a lot his rookie year. He didn't play horribly last year. I mean, a lot of people kind of overlooked what he did, and with RG3 being more healthy and having a few more weapons, I think people aren't going to key in on Alfred Morris as much on the defense, and that's only going to help you if you draft him.
Now, I'm going to use the same train of thought that I had with Arian Foster to make my argument even more with number 16, who's Jamaal Charles in the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, so we discussed Foster having the fifth easiest running back schedule, but I don't like him this year. I think he's injury prone. He missed a lot of time last year. He's getting up there in age. It's a new head coaching staff, a new offensive scheme down there in Houston. He was number 5 on the strength of schedule list. A guy that I love is Jamaal Charles of the Kansas City Chiefs, my number 1 running back last year. Everyone that listened to me there and thought I was, knew that I wasn't crazy saying that he should be drafted over Adrian Peterson, that has been sending me thank you emails all offseason. But a guy like Jamaal Charles comes in at number 16. Now, there's 32 teams in the NFL. We're at 16. So let's say that the first 15 are the guys with good strength of schedules. The guys 16 and after are the guys without good strength of schedules. So actually, I'm looking at the list. 17 is Adrian Peterson. So we can hit on this 2 points. 16 and 17, Jamaal Charles, Adrian Peterson. Just because they're in the bottom half of the strength of schedule list doesn't mean we don't like them. Because Foster's number 5. I don't like him. I love Jamaal Charles and Adrian Peterson, and they're at 16 and 17.
Yeah, Jamaal Charles and Adrian Peterson right in the middle. And it's more that they have a lot more neutral matchups than anything else. So they don't have a lot of favorable matchups, but they're not getting hammered so much with the difficult matchups as well. That's why they're right in that middle range. So
Okay. Don't
shy away from Jamaal Charles or Adrian Peterson if you have a top 3 or 4 pick in your league. They're still going to produce like they've been doing. And they have the potential to get better. Jamaal Charles with Andy Reid there. We saw what Andy Reid did with Brian Westbrook a few years ago, five, 6 years ago now. So if you can be like Brian Westbrook, he's going to make owners very happy for the next 2-3 years.
Okay, let's get to the next couple players on this list because they're all fantasy impact players. 18, we got the New England Patriots, Shane Vereen, Stephen Ridley, James White. 19, Eddie Lacy of the Green Bay Packers. And 20, Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill. I love all of these running backs, 18, 19, and 20. Which one sticks out to you?
Eddie Lacy is my favorite out of these three guys just because he is the one that is going to get the majority of touches for his team. Gio's going to be the number one, but rookie Jeremy Hill is going to be worked in there with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis kind of going on the decline. And with the Patriots, you don't know with Bill Belichick. I mean, Shane Vereen should be the guy, but you're going to see Stephen Ridley in there, and this rookie James White's getting a lot of hype, and he should get some touches just to see what they have to work with. So Eddie Lacy out of those three guys is my favorite, in those three players.
We have him as a top 5 running back right after Matt Forte on our rankings at ffchamps.com. Obviously, his schedule being the 19th, I guess, most difficult, you can say, or the 19th, he's got a top bottom 10, bottom 12 hardest schedule for running backs, not scaring us away from drafting Eddie Lacy. Same could be said for Gio and Shane Vereen if you're in a PPR league.
Yeah, Giovanni Bernard's going to dominate PPR leagues like he did last year, and even more so. I mean, he didn't start a single game last year, but this year he's going to be counted on to do a lot of the work, and he's going to do that. He's going to catch passes out of the backfield. He's going to run. I mean, he can do a little bit of everything. There's a little bowling ball back there. He's almost like Maurice Jones-Drew was when he first started getting relevant in the fantasy world.
Okay, keep going on this strength of schedule list for running backs. You can find it all at ffchamps.com. Number 21, you have the Saints running backs headed by Pierre Thomas, Kerry Robinson and Mark Ingram. This is a three-headed monster, even with Darren Sproles no longer in the picture. We saw Mark Ingram get a lot of action in their first preseason game. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show and how much you should pay attention to preseason and how much of an impact it really should matter with when you thinking about your drafting strategy. But the Saints are typically thought of as a pass-first team, but they actually run the ball a lot.
Yeah, they do. They run the ball a lot. And Drew Brees, like you said, he passes the ball and he throws the ball out of the backfield a lot. I mean, Pierre Thomas and Darren Sproles last year combined for, I believe, near 200 targets. Yep. And that's running backs. So he's going to throw the ball, but he's also going to hand the ball off. Kyrie Robinson coming into second year, he's someone I'm keeping my eye on as far as a sleeper, because I think Pierre Thomas, he's slowly breaking down. And like you said, Mark Ingram, great week one in the preseason, but you can't put too much into the preseason, at least week one. This week coming up in week three, if he looks great again, then obviously you're going to draft him a little bit higher. But Mark Ingram came in a few years ago and expected to do a lot of things, and he just hasn't done anything at all.
Now, going with the number 22 team, you got the San Francisco 49ers here. Frank Gore, Carlos Hyde. The reason why the Niners make this list is because perhaps the NFC West has four of, you know, the top eight defenses in the league. Seahawks, Niners, Cardinals, and Rams all have stellar defenses. So it shouldn't surprise anybody to see Frank Gore and the Niners being ranked 22nd on the strength of schedule list.
No, not at all. And like you said, NFC West is still going to be the toughest division in football to score points in. They have all teams have great defenses. Even the Arizona Cardinals, who, you know, a few years ago were just a joke in the NFL. They got offense, they got defense, they could do a little bit of everything. And, you know, Frank Gore with his age kind of scares me a little bit. But Carlos Hyde, again, looked great week one in the preseason. If he continues to look good, that's a guy that can make a big impact on your fantasy team.
You're scared about Frank Gore, huh?
I just, you know, he's very consistent. I've never been a huge fan of his personally, but he is consistent. I mean, 1,000 yards continuously every single year, other than that year I believe he broke his hip, which was, what, 3-4 years ago. So he is a good player, but being 31 right now, I just, they're going to work Carlos Hyde in, even if Frank Gore is healthy, just to get him some touches.
Frank Gore, to me, is the epitome of a running back two if you go heavy on receiver in the first four rounds of your draft. Let's say you go three receivers and one running back in the first four rounds, and you're looking for a solid, consistent running back that you know can produce. That, to me, is Frank Gore.
Yeah, Frank Gore's ADP right now going in late seventh round. That's definitely a solid running back, too, at that position.
Yeah. So that's why I love Gore. I don't love him as your running back, too, if you draft him in the third or fourth round. But if you get him anywhere after the fifth round, sixth round, even better, I think that's a steal, man, because, like you said, he's going to get 1,000 yards. I don't care that his strength of schedule isn't that good this year. The 49ers love to run the football. They have a great offensive line. He's one of those players that I try to target when I'm going heavy in receivers, or maybe I draft a tight end in the first three rounds. Maybe I take a Gronk or Julius Thomas in round three, and then I come back with a wide receiver in round four. You know, I'm staring at Frank Gore in the face in the fifth round or maybe in the sixth round.
Yeah, and he's consistent. And if you're playing fantasy football, the number one thing you want is consistency. It's great to consistency. It's great to have guys put up 35, 40-point games every once in a while. But if you got a guy that's putting up 18 points every single week, that's the best thing you can have.
All right, sticking with the strength of schedule list for running backs, number 23 is the San Diego Chargers, Ryan Matthews and Danny Woodhead. Woodhead's a steal these days, especially in a PPR league. It's crazy.
He's still going around 8, 9, 10 right now. I don't understand it. I mean, dude, like I said, PPR leagues, if I'm waiting on a running back, he's a guy I'm targeting for a running back too. I mean, I'm not afraid to use him if I have three stud wide receivers.
How many passes did he catch last year? 76, something crazy?
Yeah, something like that. I believe almost 80-some catches last year, and they're going to use him again. And Ryan Matthews is a guy who, on and off every year, one year he's looking good, the next year he's looking bad. So if he slips a little bit, Danny Woodhead's going to be even more valuable.
All right, sticking with the list, we got number 24, the Baltimore Ravens, Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce. We all know Ray Rice is suspended for the first two games of the year. Number 25, Matt Forte and Kadeem Carey of the Chicago Bears. Let's stop right there. Because Forte is my number four running back on our number four running back on FFChamps.com cheat sheet, but he's almost at the bottom of your list on the strength of schedule.
Yeah, it is a little bit scary, but again, it's another guy you're going to draft, and if you draft him in your top five picks, you're not going to sit him, even if he has a tough week. Again, going back to the Ten Commandments, always start your studs. Matt Forte's a stud. No matter who he goes up against, he's going to have a chance to put up points.
I'm just trying to look at who's Forte's playing in the second half of the year, because that's usually when he tends to break down. He's got the see, he starts off. You know what the problem is? He starts off tough.
Yeah, he's got a very, very tough early schedule. On. Yeah. I mean, the back end's not too kind to him either, so.
Right. Niners, Jets, and Panthers in the first 5 weeks, three of the first 5 weeks. Then he's got the Bucks, the Lions, the Saints, and the Lions again. We'll see what happens with the Lions since he's got two games in there. That's a divisional opponent. I'm not too worried about that. But you know what might the strategy might be here is you see a guy that drafts Forte at number four. He struggles the first 5 weeks of the season. And then that's trade value right there. Offer a trade, because then his schedule gets a little bit easier with the Falcons, the Dolphins, you know, Packers, and the Vikings all in the next couple of weeks. I think Forte could be a good trade, trade target after week five.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's one of those guys. Again, from week one on, you got to keep your eyes open and see what guys are doing, because you're going to have people in your leagues who start to panic even after a week or two. They're going to panic. They're going to want to get rid of guys, even a guy of Matt Forte's caliber. If they do it, pounce on it. See what you can do and pick them up if you're able to.
Number 26, you got the St. Louis Rams. Again, an NFC West team with Zach Stacy and Trey Mason. Number 27, Ben Tate, Terrence West for the Cleveland Browns. Number 28, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, Carolina Panthers. Oakland Raiders, not a surprise here. Maurice Jones-Drew, Darren McFadden near the bottom of the list. How about Le'Veon Bell with the Steelers? We see four of the last eight teams all in the AFC, or excuse me, two of the last eight teams are from the AFC West with the Browns and the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell, someone that's a player that's being targeted in the second round. He has the third hardest schedule in terms of running backs in 2014, but we're not worried about that.
No, we're not. Le'Veon Bell, he missed the first four games last year, and when he came on strong. He had a poor yards per carry, I believe, just a touch over 3 yards per carry. He's got to increase that number, get close to that four and a half range. But if he does that, he's the guy there again. LeGarrette Blount, you know, might get some goal line carries here and there, but 90% of the carries are going through Le'Veon Bell unless he gets injured. So don't be scared to draft him late second round.
Now, I hate seeing number 31 on your list because I absolutely love him despite the appendectomy. Monte Ball, the Denver Broncos, second hardest strength of schedule for running backs this year. Let's just take a look at their schedule real quick.
Yeah, he does. Again, he's another guy who's front-loaded with those tough games.
That's what it is.
Yeah, he's got five games in the red. Four of those come in the first 7 weeks of the season. So he's going to have, you know, same thing with Matt Forte. Maybe you can target him and grab him from someone if he starts off a little bit slow. But the back end of his schedule looks pretty clear with only one tough matchup after week eight.
And then you got Steven Jackson, Devontae Freeman, Jaquizz Rodgers of the Atlanta Falcons toward the end.
Yeah, they don't do much for me. The Atlanta Falcons backfield is just a very scary situation this year. And they got 10 out of 16 games against tough opponents this year. So, I mean,
Watching them on Hard Knocks, though.
Yo, man, the Hard Knocks, you can't go wrong with that. That's always entertaining. But on the field, I'm not feeling the Atlanta Falcons running backs this year.
All right. So for the complete strength of schedule analysis, you go to ffchamps.com/Pats. You get a free membership to FF Champs, and you check out Anthony Grace's 2014 Fantasy Football Running Back Strength of Schedule. And again, just to recap, you have two players that you're debating. Strength of schedule becomes a very good tiebreaker for helping making your decision a little bit easier.
That's correct. Yeah, use it as a tool. Don't use it as a Bible.
855-728-7500 is the phone number. We're going to go to the phone lines before we take a break because we have Michael in Dallas has a quick question. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, y'all?
Doing great. First how you doing?
Caller. I'm good. First time caller. I've actually talked with Bill a couple of times. I've got a couple of questions. One's real simple. I'm sure he's tired of hearing it from me, but average draft positions on defenses, is that going to get on the mock drafts?
It is. It's coming soon, buddy. What else you got for us?
Okay. Secondly, I've got a keeper draft, and I've got the second pick and the sixth pick in the first round. I traded up for the sixth pick, but we're really heavy. We start two quarterbacks. Here's my question. Of the available quarterbacks, you got Manning, Breeze, Rodgers, Romo, Brady, Cutler. We also have Megatron available. I'm thinking quarterback at number two because we start two quarterbacks. And it's a keeper for 3 years. The question is, how long do you, because I think Rodgers is going to go number one. I really think that. If I didn't think, I'd just pick him. But of the three top ones left, Manning, Breeze, Romo, Brady, Cutler, any one of those look good for 3 years? I just can't think of Manning going 3 years.
Mike, here's the thing, pal. First of all, it's very important that you clarified you're in a two-quarterback league, because on this show we always preach, it's one of our Ten Commandments, and I'm sure you know it, you wait on your quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's a commandment, you know, it's one of the Ten Commandments. But the first commandment is know your scoring system. You know your scoring system, you know your two-quarterback league. All rules regarding waiting on a quarterback fly out the window in two-quarterback leagues, because it is crucial to target one in the first round. Otherwise, you'll end up starting E.J. Manuel and Chad Henne, and you're going to finish dead last in this league. So I like where your head's at.
Yeah.
The keeper situation, Anthony, if you agree with me here, it brings in a little bit of a wrinkle with drafting Peyton Manning. How many more seasons do we think he'll be out there for the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, he's definitely going to have another good year this year. But following that, let's say they win the Super Bowl. Does he go out on top like, you know, some other quarterbacks have done? Very possible. So Peyton Manning kind of scares me. Drew Brees is intriguing because he's a little bit older as well, but he said the other day he wants to play till he's 45. So, I mean, and that's a guy who's going to throw the ball, and he's consistently a top three quarterback every year. So a Drew Brees with your second pick might not be a bad idea.
Mike, I think Drew Brees might be the pick there too, because – like I said, like Anthony said, Peyton Manning, what, he has one more year left? Two more years tops? Now, listen, if you want to play, who are some of your keepers?
I've got Jimmy Graham, Luck, and Julio Jones.
Oh, you have Luck already, huh?
Yeah.
See, that changes things up a little bit. You might be able to take someone like a Calvin Johnson or a better wide receiver with that second pick and maybe get Jay Cutler with your sixth or maybe your second-round pick, who's, again, another younger guy, but he's got a great offense around him, and he's going to be playing for a lot longer than probably everybody else on the list other than Aaron Rodgers.
The reason why I wanted to know who your keepers are is because are you in win-now mode or are you planning for the future? To me, I always want to win now. I don't know what. Yeah. Maybe Andrew Luck comes out and tears his ACL this year, and then boom, your keeper for the rest of the next three seasons isn't that good. I always want to win now. So for me, I would still take Peyton Manning, not worry about the keeper situation. You get to keep him this year, you get to keep him next year, and then if he doesn't play in 2 years from now, big deal. It intensifies your chances of winning now. That's what I'm about to do. That's what I'm all about. I want to win today. I'm not worried about tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to take Peyton Manning, I think Anthony's right. You probably could get Jay Cutler maybe in the second round. Maybe you'll want to take a running back in the first. Maybe you'll want to take a wide receiver like Calvin. But if it were me, I would take Peyton. I would have him teamed up with Andrew Luck. And then you already have Julio. You already have Jimmy Graham. You can focus on running backs for the next couple of rounds.
Yeah, we've got Lynch, Bell, Stacey, Spiller, Martin, Matthews, Jennings, Chris Johnson available. So. Oh, yeah.
A lot of depth there for you to choose
from. Yeah,
a lot of depth. Okay. All right. Thanks, y'all.
No problem, Mike.
Take it easy, Mike.
You know, Mike's one of those FF Champs members that has my phone number. I think he calls me like every day. He wants to know when the defense ADPs are updated. I got to hand it to him. Very persistent with that defensive ADP. I'm working with our programmers right now to get it up on the site, but for some reason, it's taking a little bit longer than usual. I don't know why. But that's the only – like, we have ADP for every position, but for some reason our stats feed isn't syncing with ADP. I don't know. I blame it on my fantasy league because that's where we get our ADP feed from. I'm just going to go ahead and blame it on them.
Yeah.
855-728-7500 is the phone number. We got Nick in Pennsylvania. You're up next on the Fantasy Football Champs. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, how you doing, Bill? Welcome, Anthony. It's great to have you on.
What's going on, Nick? Thank you.
Just a quick question. We picked our draft order. The draft's not until September 2nd. How's that for paying attention to the commandments?
There you go.
Perfect. Perfect.
And I'm in the 11th slot, so I have it's a 12-team PPR. And so, you know, I've got the wraparound there. And I've been doing a bunch of mock drafts, and it's looking like I can do either, like, Monte Ball and Brandon Marshall, or, you know, go for, you know, on some of them, Dez is even dropping, so I could do Dez and Brandon Marshall, but then I'm coming back in the third and fourth round looking at, like, Vereen and Gore for my running backs. So I just kind of was wondering, I could probably go Monte Ball, Le'Veon Bell, even, in the first two, and then, you know, pick up, you know, satisfactory wide receivers in the third and fourth.
You know, I think the one running back, one wide receiver route is the way to go. I love the idea of getting Monte Ball at 11 and then coming back with the best wide receiver available. Also, you know, you don't want to neglect Antonio Brown. Because let's say Dez, Demaryius, Calvin, and Brandon Marshall are all off the board. And then maybe A.J. Green just gets picked before you, or maybe Jimmy Graham gets picked before you. Don't forget about Antonio Brown in the PPR league. He's dynamite.
If Graham's there with the 11, would you grab him?
It's real tough to do that. I mean, he puts up wide receiver one numbers, so having that close to the back end pick, if you do pick a Monty Ball with that first pick at 11, you might get lucky and have Jimmy Graham come back to you round two. If not, you're going to have a choice of one of these top four or five wide receivers on the board.
Here's the thing.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Here's the thing about Jimmy Graham, and I'm sure a lot of people out there are thinking about taking him in the first round. I understand the stats that he puts up. I know how dominant he is. I know what an advantage it is to have him at the tight end spot where you only start one player in most leagues unless you have a tight end flex. That being said, I just can't take a tight end with my top two picks because the value for a tight end like Jimmy Graham is tremendous. But I don't want to risk not having a number one wide receiver or a number one running back. Because if Jimmy Graham gets hurt, you're not going to be able to replace that value.
Yeah. Wrinkle with this league is it's two wide receivers, one running back, and two flex.
Two flex as in who starts?
Wide receiver, running back, tight end.
And you start a tight end or you don't even start a tight end?
You start a tight end also.
So it's one, one, and two. And then two flex.
No, it's two wide receivers, one running back,
one tight end,
and two flex.
Right.
So that's why I'm thinking if I just get Monte Ball, then I can do a wide receiver coming back and then see what's there in the third and fourth round.
I love the combination of Monte Ball, Brandon Marshall, Monte Ball, Antonio Brown, Monte Ball, A.J. Green. Love it. And if Dez is there, you should be clapping your hands.
You like Matt Ryan in the seventh round? Because that's where I've been seeing him go, either Matt Ryan or Tom Brady.
Do you have to... You have that back-to-back pick.
I'm satisfied with Carson Palmer in the 14th round.
Well, listen, it depends on who's on your team at that point. Let's say if you have four wide receivers, two running backs, and you need a tight end, and you're looking at a quarterback, it really depends who's available. Yeah, I like Matt Ryan this year as our number six quarterback. I like Brady as our number seven quarterback. Both of them have the same ADP, going in that 7th, 8th round.
Uh-huh.
If you feel like Tony Romo or Nick Foles or Rivers can make it back to you, then pass on Brady and Romo because they're all in the same tier. But if you don't think Foles, Rivers, and Kaepernick.
At that point?
What's that, Nick?
Would you pick up someone like Pitta in the 7th instead of reaching for Ryan or Brady?
It really depends who's there. It depends who's there. Okay. I wouldn't overreach for Pitta if only 7 out of 12 teams have quarterbacks and you're not going to have another pick for, 24 more picks until it wraps around to you, and then all of a sudden you're stuck with Alex Smith.
Okay. Last question, different league. It's my keeper. I had written you 2 weeks ago, and I was going to keep Garcon in the 5th and Vereen in the 6th. Do you still like that?
What are the other options?
I've got Rivers in the 11th and Harvin in the 14th.
Yeah, Vereen and Garcon, absolutely.
Okay, great. And,
now, Nick, you're down in Pennsylvania. Anthony's down in Pennsylvania, too. I'm in Jersey. We got to get Kevin, and we have to make our way out to...
Come on over to the stands, man.
There you go.
I'll steal poker to you.
See, I didn't want to, reveal your profession in case you got in trouble or something. But.
That's all right. I'm a poker dealer.
All right, we're gonna come down to the sands and play some poker. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Nick. Best of luck to you.
All right. Listen, and let's kick the tar out of DraftKings this year.
There we go. That's what it's about. Nick's one of our most successful FF Champs members over at DraftKings. He won reveal his tax information, but I think he won over like $10,000 playing at Draft. Yeah, he did really well last year. He did really well. He was in the Week 16 Grand Finale contest. Had a shot at $1 million. Did good. Did well. Kevin, I know you're a big poker player.
Yeah, I like the game.
I mean, let's make it down there.
Yeah, I haven't played live cards in probably 3 or 4 months, but I'm probably due for a trip soon.
I'm in a pretty big weekly game that I just haven't been probably 3 or 4 months, only because since fantasy, you know, after 4
you
the
got to work weekend, for a living, Bill, right?
Yeah, that's it. I don't have time to go out and play poker.
And I'm in that boat now too.
It's crazy. Anthony, how about you? Poker player?
I haven't played poker, in years. I mean, I used to go down to Atlantic City. This is before we had the Sands near where I'm at. So
yeah.
I used to go to Atlantic City at least once a month, play with a couple of my buddies. But I haven't been playing poker in a casino for, I would say, 4 or 5 years now.
I'm a big poker fan, but less of a fan of poker in a casino. I'd rather play with my friends.
Yeah, get your buddies come over, drink some beers, smoke some cigars, have a little
fun.
Yeah, definitely.
That's where my weekly card game's at. It's at the cigar lounge. It's perfect.
Yeah, great choice.
Cigars and poker. Yeah,
that's it, man.
All right, we are just getting started here on the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. 2 hours of nonstop fantasy football coverage. We're about 45 minutes in, so that... I'm very bad at math, but that tells me about an hour and 15 minutes left. So get your calls in. Get your emails in. 855-728-7500. I lost my breath on that one. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email. We're going to come back with more fantasy football strategy and advice for you right after this.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Amendola slot right with Edelman right.
Give it to
Mulligan,
Brady.
The tight end right. Vereen in the backfield off Brady's left hip. Amendola starts it in motion. Brady takes the snap, rolls right, throws to the end zone, catches Brady, touchdown, Danny Amendola!
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs. Bill Enright, Anthony Grace, and our great producer Kevin Collins hanging out with you. Kevin, I'm glad you played the Danny Amendola highlight because there were actually two videos. Two Patriot videos that I wanted to talk about on today's show, and you just refresh my memory. The first is Danny Amendola yesterday, Wednesday, August 13th, at training camp doing punt return drills. Him and Julian Edelman are going back and forth returning punts, catching punts. They have like one or two footballs in their right hand, and they're catching them with their left hand. In about, you have to look up the video. In about in the 1 minute 48 mark of the video, Amendola now has three balls in his right hand, and he's going to catch it with his left. And he had no, excuse me, two balls in his right hand, one ball in his left hand. He goes to catch the punt. He throws the ball in his left hand up, catches it, catches the ball coming down from the punt. The ball that he threw up in the air, he kicks it and then catches that ball too.
Yeah, I just watched it. That's unbelievable.
That's sick, right?
Unbelievable.
All right, let me say that again. So he's got two balls in his right hand, one ball in his left hand. He's about to catch a punt. The punt's coming down. He throws up the ball in his left hand, catches the punt, the ball that he threw up with his left hand. He then kicks it and then catches that one too. It was really kind of, it was like really impressive. About as impressive as you can get when
I wish he could work on Brandon LaFell a little bit, maybe get his hands up to snuff.
Now, the second video I wanted to talk about, and it's really crazy how this social media, you know, guerrilla marketing campaign for ALS has taken off. I mean, what a tremendous job they did this year trying to support this charity. The Ice Bucket Challenge, I'm sure you've seen it all over YouTube, all over Facebook. It's really taking over the United States. It's for a great cause. And I watched the progression of how it reached the Patriots. Victor Cruz challenged, the wide receiver for the Giants, Victor Cruz challenged John Mara, who is the owner of the Giants. Cruz got the Ice Bucket Challenge, dumped a bucket of water on his head. John Mara then accepted Cruz's challenge. Before he did the, you know, before he dumped the water on his head, he said, "I challenge Mr. Robert Kraft, Coach Bill Belichick, and Woody Johnson, the owner from the Jets." So now the ball's in the Patriots court. Robert Kraft may have done the best Ice Bucket Challenge ALS video to date. He had the entire roster. Him and Coach Belichick both accepted the challenge. They then challenged the owner of the Bills, the owner of the Dolphins, and the owner of the Jets, all the AFC East teams. And the entire Patriots team dumped buckets of ice water, not only on Coach Belichick and Coach Mr. Kraft's head, but on each other, too. It was like a war zone out there. Definitely by far the best ice bucket challenge yet. You guys
going
see
around
it?
Yeah, I did not see that no, in particular.
I saw it. It was up on the, I think the team Twitter handle, and it was on Vine. It was on Facebook. It was on pretty much everything with Bill and Robert kind of in the middle of a semicircle. And
it was
that's
great.
When all the ice came over.
Probably the best one yet. But
Bill,
it's just
Bill
crazy.
You didn't like mine?
I didn't see yours.
I did mine right here in the studio.
Well, wait, yes, I did. I did see yours. And I said, oh, no, in the studio.
Yeah, a lot of people gave me a lot of flack for that. But I had the tarp down. I had the bucket. I was, like, standing in two buckets to try to catch some of it.
I did see it. Yeah, I saw that on Facebook. I forgot about that.
I wanted to do it in a unique spot, and there was, like, a One Direction concert going on in the middle of the field. So I couldn't do it out on the 50-yard line or anything. So I was like, I'll do it in the studio.
It's just crazy to me how it went from Victor Cruz to John Mara. And then, you know, it's just the progression is just nuts. And then Belichick and Kraft.
It's done, the Ice Bucket Challenge has done what it set out to do. And, it's kind of like touching everybody, and you just see it everywhere. So
I think
it's putting,
last year and during the week, they raised $14,000. And in like the first 36 hours, they raised like $185,000.
Yeah, that's crazy. And
nuts,
not to, beat my own drum or anything, but I donated and did the challenge.
Well,
that's
the right thing.
That's the way to do it, right, Billy?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how to do it.
That's absolutely the right thing to do. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Go look up those videos. Danny Amendola returning punts and the Ice Bucket Challenge with Mr. Kraft and Coach Bill Belichick. Great stuff. Email is webradio@patriots.com. We're helping you with your fantasy football draft preparation. Anthony, what do you say we go to the emails now? I think the first one up is Brandon in L.A.
Yeah, our buddy Brandon. So Brandon writes in, hey, guys, I have a Browns receiving question. I'm in a 14-man large roster PPR league, and I was one of the unfortunate ones that have Josh Gordon. Sorry, man. And while everyone is watching Miles Austin and Andrew Hawkins, I managed to pick up Charles Johnson. Roto-World is saying that he has been impressive in camp, and he's a must-own in dynasty leagues. I'm wondering if you believe the hype or not. Thanks.
Boy, yeah, he's really digging deep here for Charles Johnson, huh?
Yeah, we don't have a lot of information on Charles Johnson. I mean, he's got some speed. He's a big dude. He's coming off an ACL injury. I mean, drafted by the Packers last year, and the Packers seem to be able to evaluate wide receiver talent pretty well. So
right.
I feel like that's a positive. And in a dynasty league, he's probably the only wide receiver on the Browns outside of Josh Gordon you really want on your team. Miles Austin's getting older. Andrew Hawkins hasn't done much of anything yet. Nate Burleson's on that older side. So on the dynasty league, he's probably the only wide receiver from Cleveland you really want on your squad.
He's 6'2", big boy, like you said, and he has 4.38 speed. That's what he ran at the 40. But he did tear his ACL last year. So he's in a 14-team league. That's deep. You have to go deep in a 14-teamer. I'm not dumping Josh Gordon by any means.
No.
I think Brandon in L.A. should absolutely hold on to him. But, yeah, Andrew Hawkins is – I mean, excuse me. Charles Johnson, not a bad pickup. We'll see what happens. I'm not convinced that Miles Austin will play a whole season, that's for sure. So it might be Andrew Hawkins and Charles Johnson as the starters.
Yeah, Miles Austin's probably not going to throw a full season. He's one of those guys that definitely started getting injured and has not stopped for him since.
Right.
So, all right,
what do we got next?
Let's see what we got. We got one from Mike that came in. It says, hi, guys. Love the show. With your help last year, I dominated my league. Have a couple questions for you. Question one, as champ, I get to choose what draft slot I want to pick at. Any suggestions on where to pick in a 10-team PPR league?
That's a nice little perk.
So what do you think about that, Bill?
You win the league, and then the next year you get to choose your draft position?
I like that. That's definitely it's another perk. You got a trophy, you get some money, and you get the best pick. So I can't get much better than that. So in a 10-team PPR league, where would you say a good slot to pick to draft in?
You know, it's funny. I'm not going to take number one. I'm going to take number two. Because with the second pick, you're fine if McCoy goes first. You're fine with Charles at two. Or you're fine with Peterson at two. But in the second round, you'll have the upper hand. You'll be able to decide if a wide receiver gets to you or if another running back gets to you. Because that could be a major difference as opposed to having the first pick. And then you still get Charles and McCoy. You just don't get, which one you want or which one, you think is going to be better. I would rather almost have the work done for me. If the guy in front of me wants to take McCoy at one, I'm fine with taking Charles at two.
Right.
They're 1A
pressure.
And 1B to me.
Yeah, a little less pressure on you. I mean, if he screws up and you get the benefits,
right.
You only look smarter, that's all. All right, and Mike's got a second question.
And he gets a better pick in the second round.
Exactly. Great, great, yeah. Great idea. All right, and Mike's second question. In a separate league, same setup, 10-team PPR, thinking of changing into a dynasty league instead of a redraft. Any tips to make it a smooth transition?
Are you in any dynasty leagues, Ant?
I do not play any dynasty leagues right now. I do all redraft PPR currently.
I love my dynasty league. It's with it's with some of my favorite people that I'm friends with. It's very competitive. We are now in the seventh year of the dynasty league, so we do a rookie only draft. It's five rounds, and you can only pick rookies. 35 guys are kept. You have to dump five guys from your roster. So every year, so it's a 35 team roster. You have 35 guys, and you pick five new ones. You dump five players every year. But I'm dumping like my backup kicker, my fifth string tight end. To make room for the rookies. But my point is, it's a lot of fun only if you're doing it with guys that are going to be serious, that are going to be dedicated, and are going to be consistent. I suggest having some kind of security deposit, because nothing is harder than finding a replacement for a dynasty league manager when that guy has a crappy team. Who wants to take over a team with Chad Henne and Sean Green as the starting running back and quarterback combination? So get a security deposit. Make sure that these players are going to be in every league. Do it with your friends. Don't do it with coworkers. Who knows if they're going to leave. Family members, you can do it with them as well. That's one of my suggestions. The second one is start off small. Don't jump right into a 35-round draft. Start this year with a four-player keeper. Next year, do eight-player keeper. And then in the third year of this league, it's an investment, it takes time, but in the third year of this league, you'll have eight keepers, and then that's when you do your 25, your big round draft, your 30-round draft. That's my suggestion. Those are two helpful tips for starting a dynasty league, brought to you by Bill Enright.
All right, very good, Bill. So you got some information, and hopefully that dynasty league works out for you guys.
There you go.
All right, so let's move on to another email here we got from our buddy Mike in New York City. Says, good day, fellas. Quick game for you. A little game for us to play. I'll give you three players. Tell me who you would reach for, who you would wait on, and who you would not draft. All right?
Yeah.
All right, so his three suggestions here. We got Gio Bernard, Rob Gronkowski, Alshon Jeffrey.
So this is almost like a marry, love and destroy, MFK. What can I, Kev, can you help me out here with what I can, how I can translate that into?
You're on your own.
If you know what it is, you know what we're talking about. All
exactly,
right?
Exactly. So this is a reach for, a wait on, and not draft. I like that. See,
right,
Mike
yeah.
gets creative.
That's what we want.
I like this game. So who am I going to reach for? I'm reaching for Giovanni Bernard. Absolutely love him. I'm okay with taking him as my first running back if I go wide receiver in the second round. Let's say I take Dez Bryant, Brandon Marshall, Demaryius Thomas in the first round. I'm fine with taking Gio Bernard if I'm in a PPR league. So I'm going to reach for Gio Bernard. How about you?
Gio Bernard would be my reach as well. 100% agree with everything on there. And then we got a wait and a do not draft between Gronk and Alshon Jeffrey.
I'm going to wait on Rob Gronkowski only because the hype train is back and forth with him. Some people say he's 50-50 to play week one. Adam Schefter reports that he's good to go. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk is saying something different. So I'm going to wait on Rob Gronkowski. That's one of the reasons, one of the benefits why I always wait to have my draft until after the third preseason game. Hopefully some news will come out a little bit closer to my draft with word on Rob Gronkowski. So I'm going to wait on him. And then I guess that means my do not draft is going to be Alshon Jeffrey, even though I don't like it. But hey, someone has to be on this list, and it's going to be Alshon.
Yeah, you got to pick between the two. I'm actually going to flip flop there. I'm going to wait on Alshon Jeffrey, and I'm not going to draft Gronkowski. I love Gronkowski if you can get him, but he's more injury prone. Alshon Jeffrey stepped it up last year, coming to his third year. Receivers tend to pick it up. That's one of their golden years. One thing I like about the Bears receivers between Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, I know they do a lot of working out together in the offseason, and they did that last year, and it seemed to increase Jeffrey's game. So if he takes another step forward this year, he's going to be another wide receiver one.
I'm with you there. I think that Mike needs to do this game with us every week. He needs to send us a reach for, a wait on, and a do not draft every single week. Three players. And you know what? They're all great players. Gio, Gronk, Alshon Jeffrey. It's not like he threw out a Gio, a Gronk, and a... I don't know.
Miles Austin.
Miles Austin,
back
right.
to Miles Austin.
Right. So Mike did a good job. I like the idea of this game. And after all, we all know, the youth of America looks up to Kevin.
They do. And Mike also said, I love you, Kevin. So another note to our producer, Kevin. Mike's got some love for you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
And he's on his way to a Beach Boys concert for his mom's 60th birthday. So enjoy the concert, Mike, and send us some more questions like that.
I love some California girls.
We all do. All right, let's get to another one from Lauren on email here. Hey, guys, I have two questions. Number one, I draft eighth this year. In the first round, should I consider Arian Foster a good choice or Jimmy Graham?
I don't even care about the second half of her question there. Arian Foster shouldn't even be a second-round pick this year. He's going in the mid-third round, rightfully so. I'm very concerned about him. He's going to be on my running back bust list this year. I am staying far away from Arian Foster.
Yeah, agreed. Not a fan of Arian Foster. Jimmy Graham, the first round. I mean, if you want him, you're going to have to take him there. Maybe if you're in a PPR league and a lot of receivers are already going, but you'll have running back choices. I can't get on board with Jimmy Graham in the first round. As much as I love him and as much of a beast as he is when he's playing, I just can't get on board with that Jimmy Graham in the first round pick.
Yeah, I can't. That's just something that I'm not interested in doing. It's not to say that he won't have better numbers than Dez Bryant or Demaryius Thomas. It's more of saying, I have to start three receivers and only one tight end, so I'll sacrifice the best tight end, who may also be the best receiver, in order to get some more depth at the receiver position.
Yeah, that's definitely your best strategy right there. And question number two. I had Tom Brady last year as my quarterback, and he had a terrible fantasy year. I lost the league because of it. Ooh. Do you think he'll bounce back again this year?
I wouldn't necessarily blame Brady, because I had Brady on a team last year and I won my league. So it all depends on when you drafted him and who you surrounded him with. We said this on the first show last week. If Rob Gronkowski stays healthy, Tom Brady will be a top five quarterback in fantasy football. That's what it comes down to. Vereen and Gronk have to be on the field for 12 or more games, and Brady will have a successful year in fantasy. We know he's going to be successful in real life, but there's a difference. All right, we know the Patriots are going back to the AFC Championship. That's a given.
Just mark it down.
They're going to win the AFC East. We know that. But on this show, we separate fantasy from reality. And last year, Brady wasn't a good fantasy quarterback. That being said, if you built your team around him and didn't invest a high draft pick on him, like I said, I won my league with Brady last year, and it was probably one of his lesser statistical fantasy seasons in a while.
Yeah, if he comes back to anything he's been doing before last year, you're going to have a top three quarterback on your hands once again.
Yeah.
So, all right, you want to do a couple more emails, Bill?
Yeah, webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 855-728-7500. We still want to get to the coaching changes. We still want to do a little bit of a preseason week two preview, tell you what to watch for from a fantasy football angle. But, hey, the emails are rolling in, so let's get to them.
All right, let's keep them going. We got one from Christian in Jacksonville, Florida, coming up next. Dear Bill and Ant, thanks to FF Champs, I won my championship last year. Reward is not money, but I may have the first pick. 10 to 12 team non-PPO cases.
This guy's really doing it just for the love of the game. I like
that. That's okay. That is okay.
There's certainly some innocence in that I appreciate.
That's definitely okay with me. I mean, you have fun playing. That's all that matters.
Right.
All right, so we got a non-PPR format, standard scoring system, 6 points for touchdowns for quarterbacks, receivers, and running backs. For the first pick overall, Peterson, Shady McCoy. Who do you like?
Right. McCoy. He's 100% the number one running back. It's a no-brainer.
Shady McCoy. All right, so also thinking of drafting running back, receiver in that order. When second round comes to me, should I try for best running back or double up on wide receivers?
It really depends who's there. If a guy like Julio Jones falls to the second round, then I'd take him. If a guy like Giovanni, it's not PPR league. If a guy like Le'Veon Bell falls in the second round, I'd probably take him. So it really depends on who's there.
Right. And also another interesting question Christian posed to us. Also, if I'm targeting in the seventh and eighth round, like a back-to-back quarterback picks, is that too high for a back-to-back quarterback pick?
Yes. If you only use one quarterback, I wouldn't take back-to-back quarterbacks for any reason.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, maybe you get some trade value out of it if there's somebody that's really waiting on a quarterback, but you're gonna hurt yourself in your bench depth if you do something like that. Unless you have a super strong first couple of rounds that is unprecedented in your league, you should just one quarterback. And if you can get someone, you know, round 13, 14 sitting around, take a chance then.
Quarterbacks are so deep that it's really tough to trade for them. Or trade them away, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, unless you have, you know, a major injury like Aaron Rodgers last year, maybe you get lucky
right.
And someone wants something from you. But for the most part, yeah.
You can find one on the waiver wire.
Yeah, you can do that. Trust me, I've played leagues where I've just used quarterbacks off the waiver and done relatively well. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's get to another email here now. We got one from Gabe in Chicago. Gabe in Chicago. What's going on, guys? Glad to have you back this year. Don't know if you remember, but thanks to your help, I was able to beat my brother last year in the championship, and I haven't let him forget it.
That's the best.
That's what you got to do, Gabe. Let's stick it to him. You got a whole year yet. So, all right. Anyway, this year I'm in a 12-team standard scoring league, but our commissioner added an offensive utility player to the roster. Given that we can use any offensive position, how should I go about drafting my team?
Anytime, I call this a super flex. Anytime an offensive utility player, whatever, anytime a quarterback is eligible to be put in the flex, it instantly becomes a two-quarterback league, and thus you must grab one in the first two rounds. I wouldn't blame you if you grab two. Anytime you can put a quarterback in that flex position, it changes the game. It becomes a two-quarterback league, and you have to draft. I would draft one in the first round. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I've played in leagues with two quarterbacks, and I've seen guys go back-to-back quarterbacks. It might hamper the rest of your team, but if you got Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees on your team for some reason, you're going to have a huge advantage because they're going to be throwing for two, three touchdowns every single week for you.
Right.
So, all right, moving on. Next email's coming in from Sean. Hey, guys, Rock from FF Champs here. My main league gives 6 points for a quarterback touchdown pass, but one point for every 25 passing yards. I usually never take a quarterback until after the sixth round. Is it risky waiting longer than that with that scoring system? And do you see Jay Cutler having a top five quarterback year this year?
It's definitely not too risky. When it's 6 points for per quarterback per passing touchdown, it's not just 6 points when Peyton Manning has 55 touchdowns. It's 6 points for everybody. So everyone's still on the same playing field. It's a one-quarterback league. You don't have to rush out and get a quarterback. Taking one in the sixth is fine if a guy like Matt Ryan or an Andrew Luck is there. If they're gone, you may want to wait until the eighth or ninth round and take a Rivers or a Kaepernick. Jay Cutler, top five, I really can't see it happening. I know he has the weapons. Love Marshall, love Jeffrey, love Matt Forte. But you know what? He's not going to surpass Peyton. He's not going to beat out Aaron. Not going to beat out Breeze. He won't beat out Stafford. Does he beat out Luck, Matt Ryan, Tony Romo, Brady, and Nick Foles? He might beat out three of them, but one of those, you know, six guys that is rattled off is going to finish in the top five ahead of Cutler. So I have Cutler 14, but that's not to say that he's not a quarterback one type player.
Yeah, Cutler has a lot of weapons. I can't see him being a top five guy, potentially, like you were saying, into the top ten. But there's so many good quarterbacks that you just, again, Julio Jones being healthy makes Matt Ryan better. Tony Romo, I mean,
right.
Tom Brady, if he's got healthy weapons. Phillip Rivers came out of nowhere and finished as a top five last year. So there's just so many different quarterbacks out there.
Yeah, totally.
So, all right, let's get to another email. Devin from San Francisco. Hey, guys. Thanks for all the hard work and great advice. I emailed last week, and you advised me to draft at the 7th spot in a 14-team regular scoring Dynasty League. I'm keeping Gio Bernard this year. He will be my 7th round pick. And I wanted to get your opinion on what I should do with the first two picks. He's got pick number 7 and pick number 22 overall. He says, should I go wide receiver, receiver back, or running back? Are there any players at the position I should be targeting?
Doesn't indicate if it's PPR or not. That makes a big difference here. I still think he should get his hands on a running back in the first round.
It's a standard scoring.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
All right. So that strengthens my point even more. Running back in the first round, wide receiver in the second round, assuming a Marshall, a Julio. I don't think he'll get A.J. Green, but one of those two receivers are there. I'm not reaching for Alshon Jeffrey, and I'm not reaching for Antonio Brown. I would much rather see him get Maybe like a Doug Martin or a Le'Veon Bell in the second round. That gives him three fantastic running backs to start you know, a foundation of his team.
Yeah, definitely going to have an advantage at running back over everyone in your league if you do something like that, especially keeping Geo for a seventh-round pick this year. That's
crazy.
That's definitely great.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we got Jitesh in Kansas. Guys, I have a 14-team league with only four bench positions. Starting a quarterback.
Wow, that's slim.
Yeah, not deep at all.
14-teamer, too. Wow.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of free agent moving going on down there.
Yeah.
So we got one quarterback, two receivers, two backs, a flex, and a tight end to play. Standard scoring system. I was wondering what your thoughts are on the drafting strategy for the bench positions. How much should I look at bye weeks? Should I draft with plans to trade guys when other teams have a bye and don't have players on the bench to cover? What's an ideal mix? Something like that with only four bench positions, I don't think you need to go crazy. If you have value, scoop them up and do what you can. Don't worry about bye weeks, because with only four bench spots, you're going to be dropping almost all those guys at some point throughout the season, more than likely.
I think it's important to get depth at running back and wide receiver. I would start there. Get your depth at running back and wide receiver, because with a 14-team league and only four bench spots, you don't have a lot of wiggle room at those two positions. Your quarterback's going to be your quarterback all season long. Your kicker and defense are going to be your kicker and defense all season long until you hit a bye week. Probably the same with your tight end, so get the depth at the running back and wide receiver positions.
100%, yeah. You can't afford to have another quarterback or another tight end on a team like that.
Yeah.
So, all right. We got one from Dan coming in here. Hey, guys, this is Perry04, drafting ninth in a 12-team PPR league. Quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, tight end. Having a hard time not taking Jimmy Graham at the ninth spot if available. I just don't see anything close to the separation difference between a one and a two at any other position. Talk me out of it, Bill. Talk me out of it. And hopefully he is there coming back in the second round. Love the show. Love the site. Here's to another great fantasy and DraftKings season.
Now, Perry04 is one of our FF Champs members that also dominated on DraftKings last year. And when I say dominated, he was another over $10,000 winner, made it to the Week 16 championship, and was in the race for $1 million. I mean, he was a finalist, and he won over $10,000. Perry04 knows what he's doing, and I'm a little surprised he's talking about Jimmy Graham in the first spot, in the first round.
Yeah,
drafting ninth out of 12. If he does that, let's do a little bit of a mock draft here, Ant.
All right.
Let's take Jimmy Graham, okay? And
that's
then
let's say
he gets, who's he going to get as a running back in the second round?
You might get a Le'Veon Bell or a Gio Bernard coming back to you round two there, something
Fine.
Like that.
That's great. Who's his receiver going to be in the third round in a 12-team draft, PPR league? He's going to end up with, who would you say, as his first receiver one?
You might get maybe Pierre Garçon or a Michael Crabtree coming back to you as your top dog for your wide receivers.
Okay, so but we agree that he probably is going to go receiver there in the third and then a running back in the fourth.
You almost have to go receiver with that third round pick. If you wait any longer, it's going to be real scary to see what you get for your number one.
So maybe he gets like a Vereen or someone like a Gerhardt in the fourth round?
Yes, that looks about right.
All right, so he has, who do we give him in the first?
So yeah,
Jimmy Graham.
Gio Bernard.
Right.
Michael Crabtree,
yeah.
And someone like a Shane Vereen in your fourth round slot.
As opposed to a Dez Bryant, Gio Bernard, then in the third round, he doesn't have to take a wide receiver there because he already has Dez on his team, so maybe he gets lucky with a C.J. Spiller or maybe an Andre Ellington, and then in the fourth round, we can get him a Roddy White or a Michael Floyd. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that sounds a lot better. Again, Jimmy Graham, he's going to put up great numbers, but it's a first-round pick on a tight end is so tough to do.
Yeah.
So hard to bring myself to being on board with that.
I know. I can't do it either. It's tough. It really is. I understand what he does, but I can't bring myself to take a tight end when I only start one of them, even though he's the best guy in the league. I can't do it. So,
yeah.
So Perry04... I'm going to try to talk you out of it, but if your heart's set on having Jimmy Graham this year, then, you know, by all means, God bless. Go with God. Vaya con Dios.
Definitely. I don't know what that means.
Vaya con Dios. Go with God.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Hey. All right. Good. Yeah. So. All right. We got one more email here to close them out, and then we can get into some coaches if you want. So.
Right. Sounds good.
Last email coming in from Aaron, i.e. Big Shooter. All right.
Oh, it's
so,
Big Shooter in the house.
Big
That's
Shooter in the
Every
house.
Every time he emails in, you got to say, Big Shooter in the house.
Big Shooter in the house.
There you go.
Sweating in Arizona. All right. We're allowed to keep one player from our 2013 roster in lieu of a second-round pick. He has Shady McCoy. No-brainer. That's who he's keeping. He's got the fifth pick in the first round. All right. Already got Shady McCoy.
So he's starting with McCoy on the roster already. Okay.
Right. And he's got a fifth pick with us in the first round. One of the following players could be available of, you know, who no one's keeping. Who do I take in the first round? Non-PPR. He's got Demaryius Thomas, Matt Forte, Dez Bryant, Jordy Nelson, Jimmy Graham, Monty Ball, DeMarco Murray, Le'Veon Bell, Arian Foster's definitely no, and Brandon Marshall.
It's a non-PPR.
Non-PPR.
If it was PPR, I'd tell him to go with Demaryius Thomas, no questions asked. Start your team with the number one running back and the number one wide receiver that we have at FFChamps.com.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Non-PPR league, though, I'm going with Monte Ball, and I don't think it's close.
Yeah, I mean, Monte Ball, or I could see Matt Forte, but that fifth pick right there, Matt Forte and Shady McCoy would be a very nice starting two, but non-PPR, one of those two running backs is going to be your best bet coming off the board with the fifth pick overall in the first round.
Right, right. I'd go running back. If it
definitely.
Was a PPR league, it would be a receiver, no questions asked. Yeah.
All right, so Big Shooter in the house. Go with another running back to pair up with Shady McCoy and get a good start on your running backs.
All right, I want to take a quick break because when we come back, we're going to do coaching changes, and we're going to also preview the second preseason game. I don't like to call it week two because, you know, week two reminds me of regular season. So I have to call it preseason week two or the second game of the preseason.
Preseason
Am I weird
two.
Because of that?
No, no, that's okay because then you get too excited when you hear week two and it's just not the same. I mean,
it's not.
Got to keep an eye on preseason football, but it isn't the same. It's nice to have football back, but you just can't wait. Three more weeks.
So preseason week two and coaching changes coming up next. Don't forget, free membership to FFChamps.com. All you have to do. Very special offer for our Patriots listeners. FFChamps.com/Pats, and you get a free membership to FFChamps.com. We're here to help you dominate in 2014, whether you're drafting a new team or you want to play daily fantasy leagues and win a lot of cash, like some of our emailers today won over 10 grand last year. That's what we're going to help you with this year at Fantasy Football Champs. So FFChamps.com/Pats. We'll be back more Patriots.com radio with our coaching changes and preseason week two preview, what to look for in fantasy, right after this.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots.
Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Having trouble setting your draft order for the 2014 season? Give Bill and Anthony a call at 855-PATS-500 to see where you should draft your favorite stud. Now, back to the Fantasy Football Champs.
Go. All right, welcome back, Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Kevin, what is this bongo congo music? I'm feeling it, baby.
Yeah, it's like Copacabana Beach here.
Oh, yeah, I'm like snapping my fingers, my shoulders are going.
Got to get a little bit of energy here for the last half hour of the show, you know?
Getting it pumped up for the fantasy football draft season. I like that congo music. Dun, 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 dun. By the way, are you still controlling the pregame music for your players?
I am.
Well, I'm trying to do my due diligence and find you know, this year's hottest tune.
Some hot rap beats?
You know, some bomb beats from Dre like I did the last couple of years.
Your boy B. Spikes is gone, though. There's nobody left to appreciate it.
That's what I was going to say. Brandon Spikes is gone. I'm not really sure.
Still got Big Vince, though, down there from the U. Loving it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Loves his boy Rick Ross.
We might have to get another Rick Ross banger going.
I think we do.
But my boy French Montana is doing work out there in the hip hop world. Meek Mill's in jail, so he's not coming out.
Meek Mill's in jail. That might have been the funniest sentence you've uttered in 3 years on this show. Meek Mill's in jail.
You know, it's true. So he's not coming out with any.
What did Meek Mill do, Bill? Educate me.
Meek Mill violated his parole.
Oh.
And the best part is, he put it on Instagram, and then three weeks later, he's busted.
What an idiot.
He put something on Instagram like, yo, I'm still, curse word, dealing with this curse word. And then, like, 3 weeks later, boom, jail, locked up.
It's like a picture of him with a joint in his mouth or something like that.
Free Millie. Free Millie.
Oh, my goodness. Poor Meek Mill.
I'm sure he's...
I'll say a prayer for him before I go to bed tonight.
Yeah, you must. You need to do that. Bill Enright, Anthony Grace, Kevin Collins, all hanging out with you on the Fantasy Football Champs, presented by DraftKings. Got another, about, what, half hour left in the show? You have time to get a phone call in, 855-728-7500. We're still taking your emails, webradio@patriots.com. But listen, if you're not listening to this show live, you can still get in touch with us. You're listening to it on the Patriots mobile app or on iTunes. You hit us up on Twitter. We're still answering fantasy football questions all the time. Anthony is at the PPR Monster. The official Fantasy Football Champs is at FF Champs. I am at Bill Enright, and we have Kevin Collins at @PatsRadio_Kev. Very valuable characters there, Kev. You know, you might have to limit that underscore down.
I know, I'm killing you.
Just a lot of listen, you only get 140 characters on Twitter. So
that's what I read.
Every space, every A matters.
I don't want the interwebs to blow up because I'm using too many characters.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been... For the last couple of weeks, we've been trying to get to this coaching changes segment. We finally have some time today. I think it's important to learn about new offensive philosophies when it comes to new coaches being hired and how it affects fantasy football. So, Anthony, what do you say we start off? The Detroit Lions last year were one of the first teams to fire their head coach with Jim Schwartz. And in comes Jim Caldwell, former head coach of Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts. Last year he spent the year with the Baltimore Ravens. And Joe Lombardi, who was the Saints offensive coordinator, kind of quarterback coach the last couple of years. They're now in the very explosive Detroit Lions.
Yeah, Joe Lombardi coming in there really interests me. Coming up from the New Orleans Saints, we saw what he did with Drew Brees in that offense. We know the Detroit Lions have a lot of weapons. They're one of those offenses you want to take some players from. What he does with Matthew Stafford is going to be very, very interesting to see this year. If he can turn him more towards the Drew Brees kind of side, being a little more accurate with his passing, he's still going to throw the ball almost 700 times this year. I mean, we know that's just Matthew Stafford's MO, so he's going to do that. But Joe Lombardi coming there, it's going to be fun to watch. That offense was fun to begin with, and it might be more fun in 2014.
I'm excited to see not only the development of Matthew Stafford, but I think Lombardi, you know, it's just a shame because anytime we think of the Saints, we think of Drew Brees and their passing attack. But really, people, you know, it goes unnoticed that Pierre Thomas and Darren Sproles were dynamite in fantasy purposes the last few years. So that's why I'm really in love with Droik Bell this year. I obviously like Reggie Bush a lot, but Droik Bell is a guy you get in the fifth round, and he produces like your running back too. So I think Lombardi will help out there as well.
Yeah, 100% agree. He's going to use those running backs like he did, like you said, with Darren Sproles and Pierre Thomas down in New Orleans. So look for Bush and Bell to have another good year between the two of them.
All right, moving over to the Houston Texans. They hired a new head coach in Bill O'Brien. O'Brien spent the last 2 years, I believe, with the Penn State Lions in college football. Of course, O'Brien was with the New England Patriots once upon a time. What do we make of his offensive philosophy?
You know, Bill O'Brien, it's going to be interesting to see what he does. He does not have a lot to work with in that offense. I mean, he's got Arian Foster, who's injury-prone, so he's going to have to be on the lookout for a new running back for himself in the next year or so. Andre Johnson, same thing. He's got DeAndre Hopkins, so it's going to be interesting to see what he does with him. But, you know, when he was in New England, he had a good thing going with Tom Brady, leading Tom Brady to his only MVP season. So if he gets himself a quarterback, he can be a very interesting offensive team to watch in Houston with Bill O'Brien being there.
All right, moving on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Greg Schiano, last year, my former co-host Todd DeVries, always, every time we talked about Greg Schiano, it was always the Schiano man. The Schiano man. Todd hated the Schiano man.
Well, can't now blame for that.
We don't have to worry about Greg Schiano anymore because he's no longer with the Tampa Bay Bucs. They got Levy Smith and Jeff Tedford as their offensive coordinator. Levy Smith, obviously, the head coach.
Yeah, Lovie Smith, obviously more of a defensive guy coming from Chicago, but yep. You know, it was interesting. He had Matt Forte to work with for a couple of years when Forte came into the league, and someone similar in Doug Martin. So it's going to be fun to see what he does with Doug Martin. He's got two big receivers in Evans and Vincent Jackson, like he had when he left with Alshon Jeffrey and Greg Marshall, or Brandon Marshall. I'm sorry.
Yep.
So yeah, it's going to be fun to see what he does. And I know Jeff Tedford hasn't been in the NFL, but he's produced a lot of NFL players when he did coach at Cal. So he's going to be another guy that, you know, a quarterback whisper, if I may. That's what people have been calling him. So hopefully he can help Mike Glennon and Josh McCown down there get a little bit better.
Now, do we think that, given the fact that, listen, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, both big boys, and that's who McCown was passing to last year, now he's got V-Jax and Mike Evans, both big-time, big physical wide receivers, do you think that that'll help his transition?
It should. I mean, if that doesn't help his transition, then it just goes to show that he should not be starting in the NFL. I mean, Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, I believe, are 6'5 and 6'4. It's two big bodies, and they both still can move. I mean, Vincent Jackson, he averaged 1,300 yards and 7 touchdowns his 2 seasons in Tampa Bay so far, and that's without a decent quarterback. That's with Josh Freeman throwing him the ball.
And Mike Glennon.
Yeah, Mike Glennon. So if Josh McCown can play like he did in that 6-7 game stretch from last year, I mean, Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans should be in for pretty good years this year.
All right, sticking with some new head coaches, Tennessee Titans, they hired Ken Whisenhunt, who I loved when he was with the Cardinals, loved what he did last year with the Chargers. Ken Whisenhunt really helped turn that Chargers offense around, so now he's with the Titans.
Yeah, Ken Whisenhunt is a fun guy. When he brings an offense in, he does a lot of fun things with it. Like you said, last year, I mean, he made a great player out of Keenan Allen, a rookie wide receiver.
Yeah.
Kendall Wright is a guy, you know, especially PPR leagues, hasn't gotten in the end zone much, only 2 touchdowns last year, but it's going to be fun to see what he does with Kendall Wright down there. He's got to be the main offensive piece, you know, Bishop Sankey being a rookie and no one else really behind him, so he's going to do a lot with those two guys.
Do you think that it's going to be more come down to really what Jake Locker can do for the Titans this year to see a guy like Kendall Wright or maybe even a Bishop Sankey, their running back, how well they can perform?
Yeah, Jake Locker, man. He got way overdrafted when he did come into the league, I think. And, you know, he shows flashes of being semi-decent. It's real tough. I mean, he does have some weapons. Kendall Wright, I mean, Delanie Walker's a big tight end. He had a decent year last year. So he has some things to play with in the on his team. So hopefully he can turn it around and be a semi-relevant fantasy quarterback this year.
Next head coaching change up is one that I'm very excited about because he was the offensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals the last few seasons. We know their offense was really on fire last year. Andy Dalton over 30 touchdowns. AJ Green dominant four. Shio Bernard had a great year. That's Jay Gruden, John Gruden's brother, taking over the job for the Washington Redskins, obviously with the departed Mike Shanahan. I'm hoping for a resurgence for RG3 here now that there's a new coach in town.
Yeah, Jay Gruden, this guy's going to be another one that's fun to watch. I think Alfred Morris is going to benefit the most from him coming in just because of what he did with Gio Bernard last year. Alfred Morris not one to catch a lot of passes yet, but I think that if he can get his opportunities and Gruden lets him stay in the backfield for those downs where he might be passing the ball, you expect a lot of Alfred Morris with Jay Gruden coming in. And Sean McVay coming in and becoming the offensive coordinator, he was the tight end coach, he's going to draw up a lot of plays for Jordan Reed.
Yeah, I'm excited about Jordan Reed this year.
Yeah, definitely. He's coming into his own last year.
Yeah. He's just got to stay healthy, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody's got to do. That's the only problem, man.
You say that about everybody. So true.
Right.
All right, so the Shanahan father and son duo left the Redskins last year, or this past year. Kyle Shanahan, obviously Mike Shanahan's son, who was the OC for the Redskins, is now the OC for the Browns as Mike Pettine takes over their head coaching duties. Hey, you know, Shanahan had some success with RG3 as a rookie quarterback running the read option, and you know who they have this year, Johnny Football.
Johnny
we'll
Football.
See what happens there. I think it's very intriguing.
if Johnny Manziel does get on the field this year, which odds are he's going to be, because if the Browns start off 0-3, 0-4, the fans are going to clamor for Johnny Manziel to get onto the field, and they're going to make it happen at some point. So if anybody benefits from him coming up there, Johnny Manziel's the guy. They don't have a lot of offensive pieces to work with, so it's going to be difficult for him to get a lot going, especially with no Josh Gordon this year. But Johnny Manziel, if he gets on the field, he's going to be a fun guy to watch.
Is this the first time that we've mentioned his name on this show?
It might be. And, Johnny Manziel, man. The stuff he does off the field just makes me want to slap him in the head.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, he's entertaining. That's to say the least. But, you know, hanging out in a bathroom with a rolled up 20 is not the best thing to be doing.
Who knows really what that picture really indicated. That being said, I think we deserve a lot of credit. This is the first time we've been on the air for, I don't know, 6-7 hours, you know, the first two shows and today. And this is the first time we've mentioned Johnny Manziel. You can't watch ESPN without hearing his name 5 times, you know, in the first opening of the show.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
Kudos to us for that.
Yeah, good. Patting ourselves on the back. We deserve it.
Gary Kubiak was fired as the Houston Texans head coach. He now lands as the Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator. Say what you want about him being a head coach, his offense gets it done. And he runs that run-blocking, one-cut zone scheme similar to what the Redskins did, or Shanahan did. He's a Shanahan disciple. I'm looking forward to seeing what Kubiak can do. Maybe he can help Joe Flacco with some play action. I think Dennis Pitta will be more involved this year. We saw Owen Daniels always involved the last couple of seasons. I think good things for Torrey Smith as well.
Yeah, Gary Kubiak going to Baltimore, I like. Again, making too much of the first preseason game, I don't want to do, but the Baltimore offense looked pretty sharp in that first preseason game, and Gary Kubiak has a lot to do with that. Dennis Pitta, like you said, going to have a good year. He loves Owen Daniels, you know, favorite of his when he was in Houston. Owen Daniels got a lot of targets, so he's gonna turn that offense around and make them more of a balanced team as opposed to let's run the ball and win with defense.
Since Jay Gruden left the Bengals, they had to hire someone as their offensive coordinator, and they stayed in-house with the running backs coach Hugh Jackson. He was formerly the Raiders head coach, spent the last couple of years as the running backs head coach for the Bengals, and it's no surprise to hear him say the Bengals want to run the football more. That's why they drafted Jeremy Hill. That's why Gio Bernard is one of our favorite running backs. Hugh Jackson taking over play calling duties for the Bengals. What do you make of that?
You know, Hugh Jackson, when he was in Oakland, he had Darren McFadden to work with. And we know Darren McFadden's not a healthy guy. He gets hurt every single year. But when he was playing at his peak, I mean, 2010, 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns, 500 receiving yards, another 3 touchdowns receiving, you can expect something like that out of Giovanni Bernard, I think, this year with how Hugh Jackson's going to use him. And if Gio stays healthy, those numbers are going to be even better.
Moving over to the Miami Dolphins, they have a new offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor, or Lazar. You probably know how to say it better than I do.
I believe it's Lazor.
Yeah, Bill Lazor. Blazer. What do they say in dodgeball?
Taser and all sorts of different azers. You know?
This is Lazor. This is, I don't know, I forget. Kevin, any help there?
I can't recall that one.
No, you know, he's like Ben Stiller's introducing all his goons. Dodgeball is such an underrated movie. It's hilarious.
It's hilarious. Who doesn't like Dodgeball?
This is Blazer. Blazer. And I think he says Blazer again.
Yeah, there might be two Blazers on that team.
No, I think it's Michelle. And this is
Michelle. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, Bill Lazor takes over play calling duties for the departed Mike Sherman, fired in the offseason, not departed as in, you know, deceased. Anyway, Lazor was with the Philadelphia Eagles last year, did a good job with Nick Foles, hoping to bring some of that Philly creativity down there in Miami.
Yeah, if you learned anything from Chip Kelly, he's going to be bringing a lot down there, and if he can help Ryan Tannehill improve on his third year, that would be tremendous for a lot of people. And he's already moving Mike Wallace all around on offense, not just keeping him stationary on one side, which happened to him last year. You're going to see a lot more creative offense from the Miami Dolphins because of Bill Lazor this year.
Now, the Bengals, they really got both their offensive and defensive coordinators were taken away from them. Because
split.
Mike Zimmer, their defensive coordinator, is now the head coach for the Minnesota Vikings. I don't really want to focus on that, but I do want to focus on Norv Turner being their offensive coordinator, I'm excited about the Vikings offense this year, even with their quarterback troubles.
Yeah, Norv Turner, another guy that, if you pay attention to football, we beat him to death because he just turns offenses into gold pretty much. I mean, he's got the Midas touch on tight ends. Antonio Gates, Jordan Cameron last year, expecting big things from Kyle Rudolph this year, and he said he wants to get AP more involved in the passing game. So if he does that, Adrian Peterson becomes even more valuable in PPR leagues.
A couple more head coaches to get to, or excuse me, offensive coordinators to get to here. We got Ben McAdoo, leaves the Green Bay Packers, is now the offensive coordinator for the Giants. Their offense was, I quote from the Giants owner, broken last year with Eli Manning leading the league in interceptions. Ben McAdoo wants to install a fast-paced, high-efficiency West Coast offense. We haven't seen it from the first preseason games, but that's at least what he plans to do for the Giants. Frank Reich takes over offensive coordinator duties for the San Diego Chargers. As we mentioned, Ken Wisenhunt left the team. We're interested to see what Reich can do. It's good for the Chargers because Reich was in their system last year. It's not going to be a change in terminology. It's pretty much all the same verbiage, so the Chargers shouldn't take a step back. Excited about the Chargers offense. And then Scott Linehan, the Dallas Cowboys. Linehan did phenomenal jobs with Dante Culpepper in the late 90s and early 2000s, with Matthew Stafford the last couple of years, and now he's with the Cowboys, so we're expecting big things from Tony Romo and Dez Bryant.
Definitely are. I mean, Scott Linehan might be the most interesting offensive coordinator move to watch from this offseason.
Really? Wow, that's a bold statement.
That is a bold statement, isn't it? But look what he did with Megatron all those years and Matthew Stafford. I mean, if he does that same thing with Tony Romo and Dez Bryant is just a young Megatron pretty much. So, I mean, if he brings youth on top of what he can make someone like Calvin Johnson, it's going to be scary what Dez Bryant can do this year if played the right way.
No surprise, the Patriots, no coaching changes.
Yeah, of course. That's okay, though. Consistency wins championships.
That's it.
That's all there is to it.
All the time. That's why teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Patriots and, you know, the Denver Broncos have Mike Fox the last couple of years and the Giants have Tom Coughlin. And, you know, consistency in both the front office and the coaching positions, that's what, you know, brings you into the playoffs. You look at a team like the Browns. You look at a team like the Jaguars. Look at a team like the Tennessee Titans. All coaching changes the last couple of years, they haven't made the playoffs. They haven't had successful and winning seasons. It's just, you know, it's a big factor.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's just, you know, it seems like common sense, but apparently a lot of teams don't subscribe to common sense.
Like the Browns, they just crack me up. Like they just hired Norv Turner last year, and they just hired, what was it, Rob Chudzinski?
Chudzinski, yeah. 1 year. You got to give the guy a chance.
One and done.
What is that all about?
We had the Angry Browns fan on last year. Did you remember seeing his video? The Angry Browns fan. He did like the Christmas wish list of the Browns, like all the different. It was great, great video. Anyway, he came on when the Pats were playing the Browns, and he was elated to find out that they drafted Johnny Manziel. And then the next day, he found out that they drafted Josh Gordon, and you know he was all depressed again. Or excuse me, not that they drafted Josh Gordon. That Josh Gordon was suspended.
Yeah,
that's what I meant.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, him, Josh Gordon gets suspended is going to hurt any Cleveland Browns fan because that's the only thing you really had to look forward this year to besides Johnny Manziel.
Kev, do you remember that when he came on last year? He was basically saying, like, listen, Patriot fans, you have no idea how lucky you are.
Yeah, okay? I do recall that. That was great. That was a funny week.
Yeah, that was great. But anyway, we'll see if we can get him back on this season. I haven't really revealed any of this yet, but I have some big, big plans for guests this year. Like, I'm not talking, you know, your local beat reporter for, you know, the Minnesota Vikings. I'm talking like big time guests, celebrities, maybe potential models. Kevin always does a great job with broadcasters. So we got some major, major guests planned this year. Once we get into the season, it's going to be an exciting show.
We're not going to waste any bullets here in the preseason.
Exciting now, but we're just so focused on draft strategy and trying to help you guys get your best team out there and draft your best team and really hammer down our different advice and strategies and philosophies that I don't want to waste any of our precious airtime, you know, with a guest. But during the season, you know, we have some previews. We have a little bit more fun. Like you said, like Kevin said, we don't want to waste it for the preseason. Now, speaking of the preseason, tonight – I shouldn't say tonight because probably at this time most everyone's listening on demand. But Thursday, as we're broadcasting live here on Patriots.com, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Chicago Bears will kick off week two of the preseason, or the preseason second set of games here. So quickly, we're just going to go through each game matchup by matchup and just highlight some things to look for from a fantasy football angle. Okay, so let's start off with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Chicago Bears. We saw Blake Bortles under center. He did a pretty good job in limited action in their first preseason game. Let's see how he does in week two. You know, it'll be interesting. Another interesting test.
Yeah, I know they said they want to sit him for Chad Henne, but if Blake Bortles performs well this game and shows something game three, you can't sit that guy. I mean, you brought him in for a reason. Let him come in, get his bumps and bruises, and learn the system while he's playing.
Same thing with Toby Gerhart, who missed the team's first preseason game. They signed him in the offseason. He's supposed to be their bell cow. Let's see what he has in store for him.
Yeah, Toby Gerhart needs to get into game speed, and once he does that, he's going to be perfectly fine. No worries. As long as, you know, that hip doesn't flare up on him or anything, he's going to be fine. No worries about Toby Gerhart.
The Bears, not a whole lot of questions there. We know what we're going to get from them. Jay Cutler, Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, and Forte are really the guys to keep an eye on from fantasy purposes. You may want to just look at Kadeem Carey. He's the rookie. He'll be Matt Forte's handcuff this year. Friday night action, the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots. How's the joint practices been going, Kev?
Good. They had their final walkthrough today. It was probably like just under an hour and a half, very casual, no hitting.
No Rob Gronkowski, obviously. And for the Eagles, no Jeremy Maclin. A little bit of knee soreness, that surgically repaired ACL from last year. Earlier reports in the week were that he was burning Darrell Revis on almost every play.
He looked good in practice.
Yeah, looking in practice, but now he's sitting out of the game. So, once again, Jeremy Maclin, injury-prone, a little bit concerned about him. But, hey, we'll get to see rookie Jordan Matthews in action. Anthony, I know you're pretty excited about him.
Yeah, I like Jordan Matthews. He didn't look too confident against the Bears last week. Dropped a couple passes he probably should have held on to. But getting the start, he's going to get a little pressure on him playing a team like the Patriots. You know, this is a make-or-break kind of week for him to show what he can do.
Like I said, for the past, no Rob Gronkowski, but I am intrigued to see what rookie running back James White can do. I heard he was taking first-team reps this week in practice. Stephen Ridley, Shane Vereen, both in contract years, so if you're in a dynasty league, you might want to keep your eyes on James White this weekend. Sticking with Friday night games, we have the Tennessee Titans versus the New Orleans Saints. We mentioned Bishop Sankey earlier in the show as a running back with a pretty decent strength of schedule. He's a rookie, didn't play a whole lot of snaps with the first-team offense, still finished with 65 yards and a touchdown with the second team. I'm excited to see if he gets more action with the starters this week.
Yeah, we need to see what he does against those number one defenses. And the Saints, they have a great defense, so this will be a good test for Sankey to see what he can do.
No go on Drew Brees. I believe he's still bothered by that strained oblique, so it's kind of, you know, puts a little bit of a damper on what we can expect to see from the Saints offense. Yeah. Lions versus the Raiders on Friday night. Talking a lot about Droik Bell this episode, so we'll see if Droik Bell will continue to outproduce Reggie Bush in the preseason. It's only the preseason, so it's not, you know, it's not gospel with what we're seeing in the preseason is going to happen in the regular season, but sometimes it's just a good research tool to keep things in mind for when you're on draft day. For the Raiders side of the football, MJD and Darren McFadden, who will get more touches, who will play more time, or who will get more snaps with the first-team offense. Are you drafting either one of these guys at this point in their careers, Ant?
I don't want to touch either one of them. Okay. If MJD gives me decent value, I can get him around 8 or 9, something like that, put
right
on my bench, maybe
hard
be a flex.
Up.
Yeah, then I'm taking a chance. McFadden, he had one rush last week, had a 23-yard rush, so he you know, showed a little explosion, but you know he's getting hurt week two more than likely. So
yeah.
Darren McFadden doesn't do anything for me. If anybody, MJD is the only guy in that backfield I'm really going to touch.
Chargers are taking on the reigning Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm keeping an eye on Ryan Matthews, who fumbled on the goal line. On the goal line, Kev. Hopefully the fumble-itis won't be an issue for Matthews, but we'll certainly be watching his ball security. And then for the Seahawks, I'm looking to keep an eye on Percy Harvin because we know he's going to be the team's number one. Who's going to be the team's number two? Doug Baldwin, Jermaine Kearse. They have a rookie, what's his name, Paul Richardson, I believe. So we'll be interested to see who emerges as that role for the Seahawks. Moving over to Saturday's action, we have the Green Bay Packers and the St. Louis Rams. Very interesting situation here. Jermichael Finley no longer with the Packers. We don't really know who the Packers' number one tight end is going to be. Hopefully we can find that answer out this weekend. Because obviously with the Packers being a pass-happy offense, it's worth noting or worth, you know, keeping in mind who their starting tight end is going to be.
Yeah, Andrew Quarles came in last year when Jermichael Finley got hurt with that, you know, neck injury, and sadly enough, probably going to be the end of his career. You know, I feel like he might be the top dog right now, but Brandon Bostic, Richard Rodgers, the rookie, they're expecting big things out of him, so it'll be fun to watch. That's the only position on the Packers offense that really is still in question right now.
I'm also keeping an eye on rookie Davante Adams. He's a physical specimen, but he fumbled twice in the first preseason game, and him and Jarrett Boykin are competing for the team's number three wideout job behind Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. The Packers are playing against the St. Louis Rams. I want to keep an eye on rookie running back Trey Mason. He led the team in rushing yards in their preseason game, but we know Zach Stacy is really going to be the bell cow. Now, it's interesting because Mason didn't have a reception last week. Zach Stacy, not known as a pass-catching back. So I'd like to see Trey Mason catch some passes out of the backfield. Makes sense, right?
Definitely.
New York Jets versus Cincinnati Bengals, Saturday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I want to keep an eye on Mike Vick versus Geno Smith, who will be the Jets' starting quarterback come week one. I'm also watching Chris Johnson because he did score a touchdown last week, but he really didn't do much else. And with Chris Ivory banged up, I think we should see Chris Johnson on the field a little bit more, right?
Yeah, Chris Johnson's going to have to be on there for a while. He did. He scored a touchdown last week. He had, what, a handful of yards, a couple yards. So if Chris Johnson can show he can do some things between the 20s, then he's another guy that, you know, going into the season in that late fourth, early fifth round could be a steal for you.
And from the Cincinnati Bengals standpoint, Marvin Jones is, what did he have, double-digit touchdowns last year?
I believe he had 10 touchdowns last year, that big, four-touchdown game near the end of the year.
That's what it was.
Just blew up out of nowhere, like,
yeah.
People playing and they're looking at me like, oh, is that A.J. Green? No, nope, sorry, some guy named Marvin Jones again. So,
anyway, he's out. Broken foot, he's out until about week four or five, maybe even, you know, midway through the season if he starts on the pup list. So I'm keeping an eye on Mohamed Sanu, who's going to be their team's number, who's going to be the Bengals' number two receiver.
Yeah, the guy, they expected him to step up and be the number two there a few times the last couple of years. So hopefully he can step up to the plate and become that tomorrow.
Okay. Moving over to the Ravens and the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo expected to make his preseason debut after missing the first preseason game. So we're excited to see him back on the field. For the Ravens, listen, Ray Rice, we all know he's suspended for the first two games. So let's see what Bernard Pierce can do. I think Pierce is a guy that can make noise in this Ravens offense because I think his rushing ability is a little bit more friendly with what Gary Kubiak's trying to do.
Yeah, totally agree with that. And if Bernard Pierce plays well in the preseason and gets those first two regular season games and plays those well, then, you know, him and Ray Rice are going to be more of a running back by committee down there in Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing, actually.
So, yeah, you can't discredit Bernard Pierce, and he's getting his opportunity with Ray Rice being out, so he better take advantage. If not, you know, no matter how bad Ray Rice plays, he's going to be in there for the rest of the season. So,
all right, we got a couple more games to wrap up here. Giants versus the Indianapolis Colts. This team actually play each other later on in the season. Let's see if Eli Manning will throw a pass more than 10 yards down the field, because he hasn't yet. So everyone's talking about this new offense under Ben McAdoo. We'll see if Eli can get the ball downfield and maybe convert a pass for a first down. I'm also keeping an eye on Rashad Jennings. He had a big run last week, 73 yards. His speed actually surprised me. 73-yard touchdown. But we'll see if the Giants get near the goal line. Maybe rookie Andre Williams is going to be that TD vulture this year that drives fantasy managers crazy. So we'll be interested to see if that happens this weekend. And also, keep in mind, Hakeem Nicks is playing against his former team, Nicks now with the Colts. And if there's ever a chance for some motivation for him, it's going to be this weekend, a revenge game, even if it's in the preseason. Buffalo Bills taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What are we keeping an eye on for the Buffalo Bills? Sammy Watkins, right?
Definitely. I mean, you want to see what Sammy Watkins did. That Hall of Fame game didn't do much. Had a couple catches in that second preseason game. The guy's going to be a beast. I mean, he's got all the tools. He's got all the skills that you're looking for in a wide receiver. If EJ Manuel can get the ball near him, he's going to haul in a lot of passes.
And then from the Steelers' point of view, I'd like to see Ben Roethlisberger on the field for more than one possession. That's what he did in the preseason opener. So it's tough to really get a handle on what the team's trying to do and who's looking good. I'm keeping an eye on Marcus Wheaton, keeping an eye on Dry Archer. But, you know, I'd like to see Big Ben on the field for more than one play.
Yeah, he's got to stay out there a little bit longer. Had that little dump off to Drew Archer last week. He took it a long distance. So, hey, you know, we'll see what happens out of him. But, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is one of those guys that he's just, you know, always consistent. So not too much to worry about if he doesn't play too much, I don't think.
Miami Dolphins and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Atlanta Falcons and the Texans, and the Cardinals versus the Vikings. They wrap up at the Saturday night games. Let's move over to Sunday now. Broncos versus the 49ers. I was surprised to see how much Peyton Manning was actually on the field in their first preseason game. Expecting to see more Peyton this week.
Yeah, and he looked great. Didn't miss a beat. Demaryius Thomas, the whole offense didn't miss a beat. There's nothing else to say. They're only going to get better this year, so don't sleep on the Broncos.
Chiefs and the Panthers, Sunday night football. I'm keeping an eye on rookie wide receiver for Carolina, Kelvin Benjamin. He's been making a lot of plays in their practices, caught a really nice TD last week. I don't know if we're going to see Cam Newton this weekend. You know, he's just got cleared for contact. I have a feeling like he might play one possession, but I'm still keeping an eye on Kelvin Benjamin. And that brings us to the Monday night game, Cleveland Browns versus the Washington Redskins. All eyes are on Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, taking on the Washington Redskins Monday night game. I'm excited to see what happens with the Browns, and it's interesting, Ant, because Josh Gordon is running with the starters for the Cleveland Browns despite his looming suspension.
Yeah, that's something I really don't understand. I mean, you know the guy's going to get suspended. I believe tomorrow they're coming down with a sentence or his appeal, whatever you want to call it. You got to put someone else in there to get some experience with whoever your number one quarterback's going to be. Josh Gordon's not going to be there for you guys. I mean, good to get him reps, I guess, but that's the freshest you're going to keep him until next year when it starts all over again for him.
All right, so that is that pretty much is putting the finishing touches on our preseason week two, what to look for in fantasy football. The whole article I wrote it today, it's up on ffchamps.com. Remember, you can get a free membership to FF Champs just by going to ffchamps.com/pats. We got a great draft kit ready for anyone that is serious about winning their fantasy league. And also daily fantasy football. We're going to help everyone out there win a lot of money this season playing at DraftKings.com. So with that, I want to finish up the show. Kevin Collins, what do we got for a closing thought?
Not much. Just looking forward to the game tomorrow night. Hopefully see number 12 out there for at least a series or two.
Are you happy to get the Eagles out of your facility?
No, they've been great. Had no issues with the Eagles. But it was sure good to be home after the week in Richmond before.
What's Chip Kelly like at practice?
To be honest,
fun or is he serious?
I think I would definitely say he's serious. But it's very similar to what happened last week with the Redskins in terms of a lot of the Patriot coaching staff has run a lot of the drills. And a lot of the Redskins beat writers were saying, you know, if you're Jay Gruden, you've never been really a head coach at this level. Why wouldn't you let Belichick run the drills?
Right.
But I think that Belichick and Chip Kelly have a pretty good friendship, like, outside of football.
Right.
And maybe there was a little wink nod by Chip saying, hey, Bill, I'm gonna let you and your guys run a lot of this. It's your facility, that type of thing.
That's pretty respectful.
So I feel like that's the way it went. I feel like we didn't see too much of Chip's personality come out throughout the week.
Oh, all right. Interesting.
But I think, you know, I think Chip Kelly's a pretty bright guy, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of people didn't have the Eagles making the playoffs last year. They ended up making the playoffs. You know, I think there's a pretty good chance this year they could be even better. And I think he's a pretty bright guy, and I think he realizes that when you have a guy like Belichick kind of at your disposal for two or three practices, you might, like, what's the harm in letting a guy like Belichick conduct some drills here in front of me? And also, maybe there's things that I can take from him in the way that the Patriots conduct drills that I can take to the regular season, that type of thing.
All right, so have fun at the game tomorrow. Or what is it?
Friday, I will.
Night, right?
Yeah, tomorrow night we'll have a lot of fun.
Have fun at the game, Anthony. What do you have for a closing thought?
I got not too much right now. Just looking forward to watching a little more football this weekend, seeing what develops, seeing if anybody stands out, anybody breaks the mold. Up and down on the depth charts depending on the team and what we're looking at. So another week, check some stuff out, getting ready for that all-important week three in the preseason where, you know, that's a make or break for a lot of people.
Here's my closing thought. Two things. One, no injuries this weekend. There's nothing worse than seeing one of your, you know, one of your players get injured.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
Exactly, in a preseason game. So that's the first thing, no injuries. The second thing is, can Andre Ellington, can we just dial down the hype a little bit? Like, if he has an explosive play this weekend, or if he has, like, a dynamite run, I'm not going to be able to draft him in the third round like I plan. The hype train is getting out of control. You know, that's like a curse to preseason. It's a gift and a curse, a blessing and a curse. Like, it's a blessing because we get to see him and it validates all of our thoughts, but it's a curse because it, like, destroys any chance of, you know, his value staying relatively in touch with his production. I hate that about the preseason. Blessing and a curse.
Yeah, just like Cordarrelle Patterson. Last year at the end of the year, I was looking real forward to getting him in those mid-rounds, and now it's third, fourth round in most drafts.
Yeah,
so it's like, I'm not taking a chance on him at that point. Sorry.
Exactly. I want to thank all of our listeners out there in Patriots.com land. I appreciate all the emailers and the callers. Get your free membership to FF Champs, ffchamps.com/Pats. And, of course, thanks to our sponsors, DraftKings.com. For Kevin Collins, Anthony Grace, I am Bill Enright. Enjoy your weekend. Fantasy football draft time is here. FFChamps.com will help you win.
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.